You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Matt leads us through John 6 to talk about the kind of disciple that Jesus is looking for. Here's Pastor Matt.
Welcome to Church Online at Portland Christian Center, everyone. Really glad that you joined us and that you're tuning in today. What a week, huh? What a few weeks. Hard to imagine that just 2 weeks ago, a fist bump was acceptable, but now 6 feet is like the new handshake. And of course, the new Sunday morning service is right here in your living room, or really wherever you're watching this morning. Just in case you've been on an isolated island vacation, in which case, good for you, or maybe living under the proverbial rock, we're doing church today online, as many churches are around the world and around our country, while the social distancing measures are put in place to help us flatten the curve of the coronavirus spread. So, as you have church today in your living room, or in your kitchen, or in your bedroom, depending on how motivated you were to get out of bed this morning, here's just a few things for you to keep in mind today. One, as Pastor Ray mentioned just a few minutes ago, that as you engage in the message today, we hope that you'll log in to our church online site. You can go to that through our website, pcctoday.com, and chat with our pastoral hosts all through the message. We hope to encourage you and pray for you today. Also, grab your Bibles or your Bible apps, and you can turn over to John chapter 6. That's where we're going to be today, so get that ready. In a few minutes, we'll be reading scripture from John 6. And remember this, God has got this. And you know what? He's got you too. You can take hope in knowing that God is in control in spite of things seeming out of control. And you know, right now, there's not just a run on groceries, on toilet paper, and on Purell. There's also a run on hope. People want hope. People need hope. And you may be in that boat today, and you need this message. And I want to just encourage you with Romans 15:13. It says this, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what? Like the Apostle Paul, as one of your pastors, I pray this over you today, that God will be your source of hope, that he'll fill you with joy and with peace as you trust in him. And look at the byproduct in this verse of putting your trust in God. It says you will overflow with hope. It's not a little hope. It's not like you just have hope on the side. It says you'll overflow with hope. Look, coronavirus is not the only thing going around these days. When you trust in God, he will give you hope, and that is as contagious as anything. Maybe that's the word that you need today. Or maybe you've experienced an infusion of hope, or maybe you have been the person who's been helping give hope this week. Maybe it's been through an interaction in one of your smaller community groups that you've been a part of, even if it's just been on an online basis. In fact, at any time in this sermon, I hope that you'll share some stories along those lines, and maybe all throughout the week as well. If you've been a part of a Portland community group, or really whatever community group you're a part of as you watch this video today, there may be some kind of blessing you were a part of, or you received, or that you extended, and we would love to hear about those stories. We want to hear the testimony of what God is doing, not to mention there might be somebody that needs to hear that story, and it's an encouragement to them. And as stories of connection and community unfold, I sure hope that you'll post pictures of those stories through social media this week. You'll put pictures up of your family doing things together and spending time in God's Word, or just whatever activity it is, as a way of encouraging one another and meeting the needs of people around you. In fact, that reminds me of a story I heard this week from one of our Portland community groups. The leader wrote to me, hey Matt, my group had a great meeting tonight through Zoom meetings. It was so easy and it worked great. Our group is already helping each other share resources. Someone in our group was down 4 rolls of toilet paper and we had that resolved for them tonight. We would love to, as our outreach, help get elderly connected to Facebook if they need help so that they can be connected with the church. I was thinking we could also deliver needed items to the people that need them. Tonight was a total success. My group has solidified and is determined to stick together no matter what. What a great story. I mean, what a great example of Christ's church meeting each other's needs. This is really one of the strengths of being in a Christ-centered community. And it's on that topic of community that many of you who are watching may either be a part of or be aware of the Portland Communities experience that we started as a church recently, just in February. This experience has been designed to get you into community groups, to help you study God's word together, and to grow spiritually as Jesus transforms your life as his disciple. How interesting that right as we make a big push to be in small group ministry together, that a situation arises that limits our large and in-person gatherings. Someone in church wrote in an email to me this week, things are not falling apart, they're falling into place. And you know what? I really believe that. I believe that God's not caught off guard by this. In fact, he plans to have benefit for you through it. Believe it or not. And a ton of that blessing is going to come through his people in community with each other. So I hope that you are in a Portland community or some kind of community group. And if you aren't, I hope that you'll join one. You can go on to pcctoday.com anytime. Go to pcctoday.com/communities and you'll see some links there to join in to one of our community groups for a Portland Communities online experience. So you could do that at any point. We'll help you get in a community group. And you know, another benefit of being in godly community with each other is going through some devotionals together, being in the Word together and really understanding what God has for you on a day-by-day basis. And in fact, we've just finished week 5 in what is the Portland Communities experience, and it's this little book right here. Some of you are familiar with it, and we're starting in week 6, and it's in this Portland Communities guide. And it's really to keep us unified in biblical study together as a church. And to do that, we're going to actually be preaching messages based on some of the devotionals that are in this community's guide. So if you have this guide, you've been following along, then you'll have an even deeper understanding of the biblical concepts that we're talking about, as well as time to think about, process, and practice what is being preached on Sunday mornings here. And if you want to start doing those devotionals, you say, oh man, well, I don't have that book. I can't get the church. I can't get that book. We've made it a PDF for you. And so online on our website, as well as we may be able to post that today, even in our little chat area here, you can get that PDF and you can start following along as well. It'd just be great to do some daily devotions together as a church. That being said, I want to talk to you this morning about the kind of disciple that Jesus Christ is looking for. The kind of disciple who's not just a casual fan on the side. Rather, Jesus is looking for fully devoted followers through whom he can show himself to others. If you want a great devotional on this, it's on page 87 in your community guide, and it's day 2 and week 5. So let's learn about Jesus showing through his disciples. Would you pray with me this morning just as we get started? Lord, thank you for your word. And although we're not together here, we are together online. And God, you work just as powerfully through any medium of communication. And so I pray now for your spirit to both rest on us here as we send this live stream, and most importantly, in each and every home, in each and every car, out at the park, wherever people are watching, so that we could experience you today. Lord, would you teach us through your word? We are your servants. We want to be fully devoted followers of you. In your name we pray these things. Amen. There's a story of a little girl who turned to her mother on their way home from church, and she said, Mommy, the pastor's sermon confused me today. And the mom said, oh, well, what was that? Why was that? Why did you get confused? And the little girl said, well, he said that God is bigger than we are. Is that true? And the little girl's mom said, yes, sweetie, that's true. And then the little girl said, but he also said that God lives within us. Is that true, Mommy? And the mother said, yeah, that's true too, sweetheart. And upon hearing that, the little girl said, well, Mommy, if God is bigger than us and he lives inside of us, wouldn't he show through? You know, you have to appreciate the understanding of a child here that illustrates to us that at times, the simplest explanation is often the best. If God is so big, and as Christians, he lives through us, then wouldn't he show through? And the answer is emphatically yes. And that's God's design, that he would show right on through, so that not only are you transformed by Jesus, but others are transformed by him as well. Today, I want to talk to you about Jesus showing through you. And to do this, we're going to look at John chapter 6. We'll be in 53 through 56. So turn in your Bibles or your apps over to John chapter 6. This passage is primarily one about discipleship, following Jesus, being a learner or a student of Jesus, following him with all of your life, everything you do, and the cost of making that decision to follow Jesus. In fact, in few places in Scripture is the cost of following Jesus more vividly illustrated than in this teaching by Jesus himself. It's raw, it's a bit unsettling, and when you understand the meaning of it, it's downright challenging to any person. So why use this passage to talk about Jesus showing through you? Well, for one, as a church, we find ourselves in a very interesting situation right now. We're not having large gatherings, which is for many the solitary place they've gotten used to doing their evangelism. For many, we've gotten used to just, well, if we bring them to church, that's where it's going to happen. In other words, why are we using this passage? I would say this: who is going to proclaim the name of Jesus but you? In fact, this is how Jesus intends it. The church is not a building. The church is his people. The church is you, and the church is me. So this is a needed reminder that we have a job to do as believers, and to do it, we have to be fully committed to Jesus Christ. And this really brings me to a second reason we would use this passage, and it's one I think we can all relate to right now, and that is, in order to help the sick, you have to be healthy. Why are we staying home and staying safe? Why are we trying to flatten the curve? Well, primarily so that we stay healthy, and the healthcare system has margin so that they can help the sick and not be overwhelmed. Likewise, why do you need to be healthy as a Christian and regularly nourishing yourself in Jesus Christ? Well, obviously, first, because God wants to know you and be close to you. You know this, God wants to be close to you. This is not a one-sided deal. We're not just being instructed to go try and be close to a being or an entity that is not close to us or aloof from us. God loves you, and he wants to be close to you, and he wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Closeness makes you a healthier Christian, a healthier believer. And second, because you need to be healthy in order to minister to those who are in need. So look at this scripture with me, John 6. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Now, Jesus is famous for using hyperbole. He uses lots of farming illustrations. He uses lots of food illustrations. But this one really takes the proverbial flesh cake, if you will. I'm sure as you're watching this, you might be thinking, well, that's kind of gross, or that's weird. Or maybe for the first time, you're tuning into a church service, and you're like, I knew it. They're cannibals and vampires. I'm out. Well, really, it's none of these things. You see, Jesus was in the middle of a broader teaching that in many of your Bibles will be titled the Bread of Life. And here, Jesus starts teaching by referring to food, primarily because shortly prior to this, he had fed thousands of people with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And teaching over food, frankly, is always a win. Let's just be honest. Jesus knows this. He did it all the time. Maybe some of you are eating right now as you enjoy this service online, and more power to you. Go ahead, get another English muffin or some toast and spread some jam on it. Hashtag church online is awesome. The people all come back after this teaching, and they want more miracle bread. And Jesus tells them not to seek miraculous signs or physical things like perishable food. Instead, spend your energy seeking eternal life that only Jesus Christ can give you. He goes on to remind them that the bread that Moses gave the Israelites in the wilderness was not from Moses, but from God. So now people really would have started perking up. They're really listening because Moses is like one of their heroes, all right? Like Moses is like, he's like our George Washington, right? I mean, Moses, you know, he freed the slaves. He was amazing. He led them into the wilderness. And one of the things that happened to the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt in the wilderness is they were starving. And so they needed food, and God gave them manna, bread from heaven. And Jesus is reminding the people here, hey, as you think back to that important time in our history, remember, it was not Moses that gave you that bread. God was responsible for giving you that bread. Which, by the way, as a side note, they were not supposed to hoard the bread. They were supposed to just what they get, just what they needed. But some of them hoarded it anyway, and it spoiled. It went really bad. So quick lesson, don't hoard food and don't hoard toilet paper, because I'm telling you, it's going to spoil on you. Something bad's going to happen. So be cool to your neighbor, all right? Lesson of the day, public service announcement while at church. So the people are listening, and they're starting to get it. And they're understanding that Jesus is not just talking about physical bread. He's talking about spiritual nourishment. And they ask for this nourishment. In fact, they say, this is great. Give us this bread every day. And Jesus then tells them that famous line in John 6:35. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I'm that bread. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And then Jesus cranks it up a notch and teaches that to have eternal life, we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And at this, the people lose their stuff. I mean, they are upset. Scripture says they start murmuring and grumbling and, you know, they're mad. They're not accepting this. Why were they so upset? Was it because they found Jesus' words so revolting? Was it because they didn't understand what he was saying? No. It was because they knew all too well what he was asking of them. He was calling them to accept him as God's son, the promised Messiah. After all this time, they're waiting for the Messiah, and he's saying, it's me. I'm God's son. Accept me, the true bread of life, the only one who can truly satisfy their spiritual hunger and quench their spiritual thirst for God, both now and for all eternity. Jesus was calling them radically to commit their lives to him, promising that if they did, then and only then would their deepest longings and their innermost needs be met. You know, your deepest longings, your innermost needs, the needs you feel right now, the things that are making you anxious, they're not going to be met by your job. And I'm sorry if you've, through this, lost your job or your job's in peril, but I'm telling you, your deepest needs, they will not be met by your job or by money, or by the safety net that you've set up for yourself, by love, by your boyfriend or your girlfriend, by your husband or your wife. They won't be met by your stock portfolio that's probably tumbling right now. They won't be met by the government. No, they are only met by Jesus Christ. Your deepest needs that you long for, that are built within you spiritually, they're only met by Christ. Jesus is called a radical discipleship. Using those provocative terms would not have been unfamiliar to the people, actually. In that era, when a leader called for unreserved commitment, he would demand that his followers eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. It was actually kind of a thing. It was kind of a saying. A modern day equivalent would be to have a leader stand in front of you and say, are you all in? Are you all in? Let's do this. So the reason the crowd was upset and abandoned Jesus at hearing this was because they knew exactly what he was asking of them. Nothing less than total commitment and full surrender. What's also very interesting here is that Jesus uses two different Greek words in two different tenses for eating of the flesh. In John 6:53, when he uses the word eat, it has the connotation to eat once and for all. What we're talking about here is a specific act at a moment in time that produces lasting change. You know, a great way to understand this in a modern context would be to receive a vaccine. You receive a vaccine into your body once, and it changes you forever. It changes something in you. It makes you immune to something or heals you from something. And Jesus is teaching here about salvation, the act in which we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, where we believe that he died on a cross, that he rose from the grave, where we believe that he's the Son of God, where we repent of our sins and we ask of forgiveness, where we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he rose from the grave. Scripture says that's what gives us salvation, that belief in our heart, that confession with our mouth, so that we are what we call saved. You may have heard that before. Someone is saved. Saved from what? Saved from an eternity in a place called hell without God and without anybody else. You know, some people would say, well, I'm not too concerned about going to hell because all my friends will be there. It's going to be a party. And I've got news for you. It is not going to be a party, and there's not going to be anyone else around you. Scripture says that hell is an outer darkness. There's not going to be anyone around. There is going to be this suffering and pain like maybe many people associate with the word hell. But perhaps one of the worst things is an eternity away from people, and certainly the worst thing is an eternity away from God and his presence. Saved from that. Saved to what? Saved to both help in this life now and saved to eternity with Jesus Christ and with your fellow believers, where Scripture says there's no more tears and there's no more hurt and there's no more sickness. What a significant message for today. No more sickness in eternity with Jesus Christ. And maybe as you listen to this, you are interested in that. You would say, I think I need to have that kind of relationship with God, and I would like to be saved. And if that's so, we'd like to pray for you today. As Pastor Ray said earlier, our phones are open, and also you could click the live prayer button that's on our live stream page. One of our pastors will pray with you right now. If you feel God speaking to your heart, click that button right now, and we want to pray for you. So the first part of Jesus' teaching is salvation. The second part is our continued daily time with him. So in John 6:54, he says, eat, and what he refers to there in that tense is a continuous act of self-nourishing. The idea here is easy to grasp. It's just like how we need to eat continuously to keep ourselves nourished. We have to eat in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. To grow in Christ, you need to spend time with Christ daily, just like you eat regularly. This is why the daily devotionals that are in the Portland Community's Guide, or whatever you would use as your devotionals, and when it comes down to it, just being in Scripture, the Bible, are so important. They are time in Scripture daily to help you spend time with Jesus to grow more healthy in him, to have more nourishment in him. In both cases, to eat and to drink means to so thoroughly absorb Jesus into every fiber of who you are, and every aspect of how you live becomes fundamentally and profoundly affected. And when he is invited and allowed to so fully and completely take over your life in that way, something wonderful will happen. He will show through you. You won't be able to help it. He will show through you. This is where real transformation happens in your life and happens in the lives of those around you. It happens in you because time in Scripture, worship, and prayer transform your life personally. Look, I'm just telling you, when you log in and you join us for live stream, log in at the beginning, because worship transforms you. When we pray and then we say, hey, let's pray together at home, gather your family around, gather your children with you, your parents, whoever you are, whoever's with you watching, and pray together, because prayer will transform you. While you have maybe some of this extra time, however that's shaken down for you, open the Bible and spend time in Scripture, because Scripture will transform you. That's the work he does in you, through you, because God chooses to transform other people's eternities through the ever-nourished, healthy, and transforming lives of his believers. This week, as you're home with your kids who are out of school with what seems to be forever, who knows? You're teachers now, mom and dad, which by the way, you're always teachers. Maybe this is just a good time to recenter, refocus some priorities, teach your kids. Or maybe your work is shut down, or perhaps you are sheltered at home, you're staying home and staying safe. Take time to nourish yourself with scripture and be in God's presence. Turn on some worship music, get some time with God. He'll fill you up and he'll rock your world. And then as you're in contact with others, whether it's online only, whether it's through social media, whether you're 6 feet apart at a park or a grocery store, however it plays out, let Jesus show through you. It's not gonna happen if there's no Jesus in you in the first place. So fill up with Jesus, and then as you interact with people, watch as he shows through you. And watch as even in a worldwide pandemic, that God transforms lives and he meets the needs of people that you come in contact with through you. I'm reminded of a time in my childhood where our family was pretty poor. And when I was a kid, we were trying to make ends meet a lot. My parents worked very hard so that this could happen. And, you know, we did things like get hand-me-downs from, I had a friend who was a year older than me, so I was always wearing his clothes. And then those, of course, got passed down to my brothers. And, you know, by the end, they were like held together loosely by a few molecules. But, you know, it allowed us to have clothes. And we were always kind of scrounging for groceries at times. And you know what, though? God always helped us. He always provided. And one of the things I'll never forget is my parents were in what was called at the time home fellowship. So our church had home fellowship. Maybe some of you watching remember that term. And it's changed over the years. It's been home fellowship and home groups and small groups. And we call them community groups. But they had home fellowship. And they would meet every week with their home fellowship. And the kids would all play in another room. And sometimes I wanted to see what the adults were doing. So I would get on the floor and I would crawl so that, you know, hopefully they wouldn't see me. I'm sure they did, because I totally see this when my kids do things like it now. But I'd crawl and I'd look around the corner and I'd see what the adults were doing. And they were laughing and they were having fun. My dad would play the guitar and lead them in worship. They'd get together and they'd share scripture and stories of their lives. And there were a couple of moments I remember where things were really tight for us, where we didn't know where we'd get groceries the next day or pay some bills. And one day we came home from school or an errand or something. We were in the car, and I remember the stress was high for my mom. And we get home, and on our doorstep are bags of groceries. Someone had just stopped by. Someone from the community that knew the needs of my family. And another time, things were really tight and we didn't know where we'd pay the bills. And I remember my mom coming in, or my dad, one of the two, and they had pulled out of the mailbox money. Someone had left money in our mailbox. I don't know if it came from that home fellowship group or just the church as a whole. Someone knew of the need. Someone in the community of Christ knew of the need, and they met that need. And you know what? They didn't actually, I don't know that we know who they are to this day. We didn't have contact with them. So in a setting like this where you're not having a lot of contact with people, you can still be a tremendous blessing through your community. How is God speaking to you to let him show through? This is how God's church is designed to be. Christians filled up with Jesus, so full that he's literally showing through them all the time. That can really be the case in your life and in the lives of people around you, and I hope that it is this week. Now, before we would close in a blessing today over you and your family, I'm gonna invite Pastor Heather to join me on stage. Pastor Heather's our children's pastor, and I wanna just briefly talk with Pastor Heather and with you for a moment about some of the practical ways that this really could unfold. So Pastor Heather, thank you for joining us, and thanks for taking care of all of our kids. I know you're a tremendous blessing to my two sons.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. What an encouraging message. And thank you for sharing that. And God just dropped a word, actually wrote it on one of our cards in the pew. And it just is, in this time of social distancing, God has called us to spiritual intimacy.
Yeah.
And so I just thank you so much for that word. It's been so great seeing all of you guys join in with us together this morning. And the church is still happening right now.
Yeah, that's right. It is. And on that note of spiritual intimacy, I wonder, Pastor Heather, to use Jesus's example of eating and nourishing ourselves, how do you, just personally, how do you nourish yourself with Jesus on a regular basis and take him in as your daily nourishment?
Well, I think being a mom of three kids and having other responsibilities, just spending that quality time with the Lord and just reading his word and listening to praise and worship music. But more than that, I think during this time of not only just reading, but contemplating, God, what are you saying? And listening for him to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, in a season of social distancing, how do you think families can do this together? Because I think of there's probably some unique opportunities, maybe ones that with the normal busyness of life now being a different kind of busyness of life. You're our children's pastor. You're thinking about our families all the time. And I know you're thinking about your family. So what do you think about that?
I think we have, in our world, we've been saying we're too busy or I don't have time. Well, this is our opportunity to recalibrate our families, our rhythms, our routines, and to pause, to take Sabbath and that rest together. And we, as a team, have just been praying for you guys and have just been seeking of how can we tool you and be there for you. And so I've actually produced a Kids Church Live in Your Living Room event, so you as a family can sit down with your kids and you'll hear familiar songs and characters. And I want to encourage you to sit with your kids and share that time together. There's also devotions, praying with your kids, having conversations at the table, sharing about how you came to know Jesus and asking them questions about their life. And you would be amazed of what transpires because we're not only the family of God, but God has put each of you guys together as a family to magnify him. And so we're here for you. Look at pcctoday.com, kids. We have lots of resources and devotions, and we'll be sending that to you throughout these next couple of weeks and journeying with you on this.
Well, thanks for putting in so much work to do it. So you know, at home, Pastor Heather and all of our pastors have really been working hard this week, more so than even like a normal week. I mean, we are just scrambling to really bring as many resources to you at home to stay connected as possible. I watched Pastor Heather's connection and church videos. If you want to see Pastor Heather with some green hair, tune in to that and watch some of the Sunday school that she's put out for your kids. And finally, Pastor Heather, what are some examples that you think that you kind of see happening already, or you see that could start to happen, of Jesus showing through? What in a coronavirus pandemic season, how do you see Jesus showing through that, both in families and neighborhoods and through the church? What's kind of popped out to you?
I just think it's such a great opportunity that people have been given gifts. Unique gifts, whether it's sewing or crafting, or I've seen moms online offering to for childcare for families, healthcare workers who have to go to work. I've seen people sewing masks to help provide masks for the shortage that's going on, and just reaching out and being an encouragement in creative ways. I saw on Facebook families that went to the park and their families kept social distancing, but it really is our opportunity, as Pastor Matt was saying. I think God is preparing us for such a time as this,
that's good.
And we can rise to the occasion, and this will be the church's greatest hour.
Yeah. Well, I believe that too. Thank you for sharing those thoughts. We're really unified as a staff in believing that God is doing something great through this. I hope you'll believe that too. I hope you'll take hope this week. And I just want to leave you today by praying a blessing over you. It's similar. In fact, it is the very blessing that we pray over you pretty much each and every week here on a Sunday morning. Remember this through the week. God has got this, and he's got you too. Numbers 6:24 through 26 says, "May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace." God bless you this week.
Thanks again for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you would like to hear more teachings or find out more information about our church, please visit pcctoday.com.